couple of praise items. We're just going to do a real quick popcorn praise here after a moment, after I give some announcements. And I'll give you an opportunity to just stand up where you are and praise the Lord for something real quick. One line, I'm thankful to God for, or I praise God for. You fill in the blank, okay? In your bulletin are a couple of things. You have a little sheet that says San Carlos Community Church contact information. If you don't get emails from me on a regular basis, or maybe you're kind of new around here and you haven't given us your contact information, we would surely appreciate your willingness to do that. And we'd like to include you in our directory and contact information and in our emails, and we send out newsletters and prayer requests, and I just like to bug you once in a while about stuff. So I hope you'll give that, and you can just drop it in the offering bag or lay it on the table as you're going out tonight, or hand it to one of us, and we'll be glad to take it from you. Thank you so much for that. Also, in the bulletin are a couple of announcements. This Wednesday night at 7 o'clock is an elder-led concert of prayer here at the church at 7 o'clock. We hope you'll come and be a part of that. We're just trying to be more and more diligent in seeking the Lord in prayer and listening to the Holy Spirit and being led by the Spirit, and we want God's initiative leading us. And we're trying to draw you, the congregation, aside for a time of an hour and a half of prayer and seeking the Lord. And last month it was just such a great, great time together. Hope you'll come and join us for that this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Also, I just want to say thank you for all the hard work that went into last Thursday night's, our annual fish fry celebration. And it was just a blessing of a night, at least for me personally, but I've heard many, many comments of how much people enjoyed it. It was a great outreach for us, and you all gave over $3,000 towards the fund in Japan for the disaster relief there. Thank you for that, and we appreciate your generosity with that. If you still would like to give to that fund, you can do so. There's some envelopes on the back table, and you can designate it Help Japan or Japan Fund, and we'll see to it that those funds are donated through the missions over there. There's lots of needs there. I was, again, reading and looking at the disaster and the amount of people displaced and homes destroyed, and it's just turned upside down. It's phenomenal. They need our help. Okay, before I go to prayer requests, let's do the praise. Who's got a praise item? Popcorn praise. Just stand up and say it. I'll get that in a minute. This is praise first. It's more important than mail.
I'm very thankful for our pastor and his wife. Yes. I don't want to be the first one to say that.
Thank you for that.
And I praise God for all the wonderful people we have in the community.
Lots of wonderful people in the community. Thank you for that. Others.
I'm thankful that my other son is starting to go back to church and asking questions and faithfully reading his Bible.
All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for that.
Thank you, Lord, for blessing my marriage.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that we can show our faith.
Amen.
Praise God for blessing the people except for story.
Yes, absolutely. Open hearts.
For the memorial proclaim today where God is glorified.
In the memorial service today.
I just want to say thank God for the good weather.
Amen. Could be in snow and rain somewhere, right?
Thank God for my family safe trip.
Family safe trip. Praise the Lord. Good. We're glad you're here.
I'm going to thank God for Saturday night service.
Saturday night service.
I want to thank God for Clara and the work that she's doing to give the rest of us a time off. I appreciate that.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Yeah. I have a message. I was at the orphanage today, and they said April 21st, next month, is going to be a very special day. A lot of the churches, the new churches in Guaymas and this area here in Sonora, are putting on a special, many special foods for them, so and then all the money is going to be donated to the orphanage. And one church is bringing just the other one's bringing chicken tacos. The other one's bringing something else. They're bringing 350 400 of these individual tacos. They're going to be sold at some festival.
Yeah. You have to get us the information to put it in.
I'll be announcing it tomorrow at church.
Okay. Okay. One last opportunity. There you go.
I'm thankful for the choir because I'm funny with my arms snowy in front of you.
There you go. Yeah. We're excited for the choir tonight. Okay. Dan was waving mail. Anybody going out to the States? Sherilyn? Tomorrow's going out. Dennis?
Monday.
Okay.
We're going out Thursday.
Thursday. So you got opportunities, choices galore. Thank you for that. Well, let me give you some prayer requests. In your bulletin is the mission insert for Nacho and Hetsa Camacho, who are our missionaries in Benamichi. I don't know, maybe if you're not from around here, you don't know, Nacho and Hetsa grew up right here in San Carlos, basically, and they're from the Mexican church right next door, and we've sent them out as missionaries to Benamichi about 6-7 years ago, and they've been pastoring there ever since, doing a great, great work, and just working their tails off, and God's blessing it, and they're growing a ministry there. God's growing a ministry, and they're touching youth and adults and families and marriages, and it's an exciting thing to see. I would encourage you to read through the insert here, their bio, and pray for them during the week. Every day, just remember to pray for them and bring them before the Lord and their family as well. Also, pray for Alex and Annie Icheribel. There, I got it. So they're left today for Tucson. Their son-in-law, Gilbert Garcia, is in the hospital in very serious condition. He lost both kidneys a few years back, and had a transplant. And suddenly he's got pneumonia, and I think the kidney's acting up. And his blood sugar was over 500 this morning. So pray for Gilbert Garcia. And also, would you pray for Flo Lebo? Flo was flight lifted out yesterday afternoon late to Tucson. She broke her hip in two places. It was a terrible break. And she's going to have surgery tomorrow morning. Lord willing, it all works well. So pray for Flo and Jerry as well. It's a pretty stressful time in their lives, but we're grateful to God that he's working it all out according to his plans. And also, we'd like to ask you to pray for the Semana Santa outreach. And that's going to happen during the Thursday, Friday, Saturday week of Easter, leading up to Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And we're trying to touch and bring the gospel into Semana Santa this year. And I think the Lord's bringing it together in a beautiful way. And we just ask you to commit to pray for that as well. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Would you join me? Lord, your word says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous flee to it and find refuge. And Lord, we flee to you because you are a powerful, powerful, supernatural God to be reckoned with. Who is greater and more wonderful and more glorious and more beautiful, as we've sung about tonight, than you, O Lord? And who is more worthy to bring the needs and the concerns and our praises and our celebrations to you than you are? Lord, you sit on your throne in heaven, high and exalted and lifted up, Isaiah saw in his vision. The throne room is filled, the entire throne room filled with your robe. Scripture paints you as sitting on your throne with the earth as your footstool. God, you are sovereignly in control of absolutely every situation, no matter how absolutely devastating it may seem to us as human beings. And God, we do praise you tonight. We praise you for your everlasting faithfulness from generation to generation. We praise you that your name is above all names. We praise you, God, that you are most high and worthy to be praised because you are powerful and able and holy and pure. And Lord, there is no God like you. Lord, you are the creator, the sovereign of the universe. You are the life giver. You have given us the very breath that we breathe at this very moment. We praise you because of who you are. And Father, we humbly bow before you and ask you, God, to work in our lives. Lord, we lay our lives before you, Father, because, Lord, only you can accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Lord, to reconcile us from death to life, from eternal death to eternal blissfulness with you forever and ever. Father, we humbly bow and pray that you would uplift Nacho and Hetsa and their children, Father, and the ministry there at Benamichi. God, continue to pour out your Spirit upon them as they walk by faith and lead by faith in utter dependence on everything for you, Father. Lord, you know how hard they're working. You know how they're pouring out their very lives for the people that they're sharing their lives with, Father. God, would you bless the work of their hands and their hearts, Lord Jesus. Father, would you meet their needs as only you can, both spiritually and physically, Father. Lord, would you continue to draw people in Benamichi to yourself as you draw people here in San Carlos and the outer area to yourself. Father, would you break through the hardness of our hearts? Would you speak truth to us that we would hear and believe and understand and comprehend how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ that's been poured out for us? Father, would you meet our most basic needs? Father, for Flo Lebo, we pray, Lord, this afternoon, God, that you would just be with her this night in the hospital room, Father. You would minister to her in unseen and untold ways. You would uphold her and strengthen her and encourage her. And tomorrow, as she goes into surgery, Father, you would guide the hands and the minds of those who work on her. Lord, most of all, we pray for healing for her, that you would raise her up and restore her. God, keep her in your care and in your comfort and in your strength. Father, we pray for Gilbert and his need for just restoration in his body that's in such a battle right now. Father, strengthen and comfort him and heal him in the name of Jesus Christ. And use Annie and Alex to go there to bring comfort of a mom and a dad and a mother-in-law and a father-in-law to this son-in-law, God, and their daughter. Lord Jesus, we again lift up Japan, and not only Japan, but the whole Middle East crisis, all the things that are happening in the world. Father, it's almost incomprehensible to get our minds around what's unfolding before us. But it's not too much for your mind. Lord, you know all of it, and you're aware of every situation and every need. And Father, we just pray for a revival in every one of these situations. We pray that the Holy Spirit would unleash the power of the gospel in people's lives, and in desperation they would find you, loving God, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would meet both physical needs and spiritual needs, Lord. Turn the lost into being found. Turn the downtrodden and the beaten into being saved and rescued and delivered, Father. And Lord, that's our prayer for Semana Santa. God, use us as a light in the darkness. Use us as a testimony for your glory and your grace. Use us, God, to share the good news where there's only bad. And Father, we pray for the salvation of multitudes of souls during that week. God, would you do miracle after miracle in people's hearts and minds and souls. Lord, bless the work of our hands as the gospel goes forth from our mouths. Lord, we bless you even for the offering tonight that will be taken later on. God, would you multiply it like the loaves and the fishes. Father, would you use it to spread the gospel? Would you use it to accomplish the ministry that you want accomplished here in the San Carlos area and the worldwide? And Father, would you just strengthen us as we give? May we be gracious givers out of joy-filled hearts. And give as an act of worship to you, in praise and adoration, because it all comes from you in the first place. And Lord, would you bless the word tonight as we share it together from Galatians. God, would you help us to see and understand how important it is to keep the gospel the main gospel, and to keep it pure in all things. So Lord, open our hearts and our minds, I pray. Give me the ability to communicate clearly tonight, Father. And Lord, may it all be done for the glory of your name. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to page 972, Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, page 972. We've been in this this is the third week. I'm finally going to bring this to an end, departing from the gospel tonight. I thought I was bringing it to an end last week, and the more I looked at it again this week, God wouldn't let me leave it alone. It's sometimes a disconcerting thing because you think you're done and you're ready to move on, and God says, oh, just a minute. There's one more thing you have to say here. It's very important. You can't move on. So you have to readjust yourself and readjust your mind to what He wants, and you have to listen so closely. Let me approach it like this. And I want to approach it with a question tonight that you all must answer. Every one of us. How important is purity in all of life? How important is purity in all of life? It's very, very important. As a matter of fact, it only takes a small drop of liquid to poison an entire body of water. It's so very, very important to have purity. In Japan, and what's happening in the chaos with the nuclear reactors there, all kinds of radiation is filtering out all over the place, and contamination is happening everywhere, much more than it's being admitted and let out by the government, I'm sure. Purity is not being preserved over there. It's ruining the very necessity of the things of life that people must have in order to exist. Paul said it in Galatians chapter 5 verse 9. A little leaven can work itself through the entire batch of dough if you're not careful. You see, purity is so vitally important. And the Apostle Paul has been making and is making that point here in Galatians that anything added and anything taken away from the gospel, from the pure gospel of Jesus Christ for salvation, is of great error and punishable by God. You add to it, you take away from it, Paul says, and you're an absolute punishment from the Lord. Purity is absolutely essential. Well, let's ask the question and try to answer tonight, what is the gospel? Well, we've described it in other weeks, but I'll try to describe it again. It's the good news of hope to a rebellious people of human beings like us who face the judgment of a holy God. Did you get that? It's the good news to a rebellious people like you and me who face the judgment of God. It's the gospel that will deliver us from that judgment. The gospel is the best news that's ever been announced in the entire universe. The best news. Because the gospel liberates. And because the gospel transforms. And because the gospel saves the soul that embraces it for the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what happened in the life of a man named Saul, who was a persecutor. Because of the gospel, he went on to become the Apostle Paul. This man was a persecutor. He was a killer. He was a stoner. He was a drive him into prison and put him to death kind of guy. But when he heard the gospel, and because the gospel liberated him and transformed him and saved him, he went on the first missionary journey, and he went through this place called Galatia, this area in the world that we know as modern-day Turkey, and he was preaching and establishing the churches there because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it didn't take long. And suddenly some prominent Jews came along who were legalists, and they infiltrated these faith communities that had been saved by God's grace, and they began teaching that faith in Christ alone was not enough to make a person right with God. Salvation, according to their argument, also required a strict adherence to the Mosaic law, which included circumcision. In other words, if we were sitting under them today, they would say to us, San Carlos Church, the gospel of grace is not enough. You also need to fully embrace the entire law of the Old Testament, and you need to live that law no matter what. And you know what the end result of all of that was? As is often the case, the end result was that there were some very, very, very confused congregations and very upset and a very righteously, indignant, righteously indignant Apostle Paul when he heard about what was being proclaimed by these Judaizers. You see, over the last 2 weeks, we've tried to answer from Galatians. Galatians has been answering some very, very important questions for us. And the first question is the purity of the gospel important? And the answer is, absolutely yes, it's important. The second question, is it all right to take an eclectic approach to spirituality? I mean, can we mix elements of radically different faith traditions with the message of grace in Jesus Christ? And Paul says in Galatians, absolutely no, you can't mix those radically different faith traditions. There's no mixing allowed in God's message of grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. That's it. That's the totality of the message. And he feels so very strong about this. And you say, oh, Rich, really? Well, look with me. Verses 8 and 9 of Galatians chapter 1. Let's see how strongly Paul feels about this attempt to mix and unmix the purity of the gospel and mix it with some other kinds of faith traditions. Well, I'm going to start in verse 6. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. That's what he's saying to the churches. Not that there is another one, because there isn't, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Now here comes his feelings about these people. Verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one that we preach to you, let him be accursed. Verse 9. As we've said before, so now I say it again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. You think Paul feels strongly about this? I think so. The gospel, remember, means good news. In his famous sermon in the synagogue, Jesus of Nazareth, it was the synagogue in Nazareth, when Jesus quoted Isaiah 61:1, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor." The gospel doesn't reveal a plan of salvation. It proclaims the fulfillment of God's plan of salvation that was begun in Israel, completed in Jesus Christ, and is made known to the church. The gospel is the saving work of God in His Son Jesus Christ, and the gospel is a call of faith in Him alone. Listen. Jesus is just much more than a messenger of the gospel. Jesus is the gospel. That's what we've got to get our minds and hearts around. His life, His teaching, His atoning death on the cross all declared the fulfillment of the good news of God. And when these agitators came down from Jerusalem to Galatia proclaiming something different, the believers began turning from grace to a legalistic system of salvation by works. And all the while they were ignoring the atoning death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And Paul tells the Galatian churches here in verse 7, there is no other gospel. And these people are just distorters, as we looked at last week, who are troubling you with something that is simply not true. And then he comes to verses 8 and 9, and he lets the hammer of judgment fall on them, so to speak. And he says, if anyone's preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed. He doesn't just say that once. He says it twice in verses 8 and 9. The original word in the original language is anathema, accursed. When Paul says about the one preaching a different gospel, let him be accursed, in a very literal sense, he's saying to him, let him be sent to the judgment of hell. Anathema. Let him go to hell for preaching a different gospel. May hell punish him in judgment for taking away the purity of the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. You know, I know in our modern day, we don't like to hear or even talk about hell. I mean, the thought in 2011 of God sending some people to hell has become such an unpalatable idea. Nobody wants to hear about it. Nobody likes to hear about it. And people rise up and they insist that God must be some vicious and cruel and some kind of violent kind of God in order to send someone to a judgment of hell. I mean, isn't that for a place for like Hitler and a child rapist and some vicious genocidal maniac who's killing thousands upon thousands and millions of people? They deserve to go to hell, but the average person doesn't deserve to go there, do they? And honestly, some of you went to a memorial service today. Many people embrace the idea wholeheartedly that the average person nearly always makes it to heaven, and that the few that do miss out, well, it's because they've done such horrible, horrible, unimaginable things in their life. And that's the way society views heaven and hell in this day and age. But the Apostle Paul tells us that we're worthy of that kind of judgment, anathema, if we teach certain things. If I believe something that's wrong, he's saying, and I teach that to others, look out, Paul says, it puts me under the judgment of God. Let him be accursed who teaches something outside of the purity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I was thinking about that this week, and I thought, yeah, and what's the first natural reaction that comes? Well, then I'm not going to teach. And if I don't teach, I'm going to be okay. I won't get judged that way then. I'll protect myself. And sounds like the easy way out, doesn't it? Listen, the Bible makes it absolutely clear that the human race is divided into two specific groups. Those living under the judgment of God, and those who attempt to stand before God in their own works of self-righteousness, that's one group. They're under the judgment of God, attempting to stand before God in their own personal works of self-righteousness. And the other group are those who are living under the pure grace of God by faith alone in Christ alone. The Bible makes that absolutely clear that there are those two groups in all of humanity. And those two groups are divided, absolutely divided, by the fact that one has received the free gift of grace of God as a gift with all humility. And when those false teachers came down from Galatia, And when they were proclaiming that the Mosaic law had to be added, and that all they were proclaiming was that their freedom was to be taken away because of grace, that grace wasn't enough, and that freedom was found in adding the Mosaic law and adding circumcision to life, then you would really be well and fine. And Paul makes the point over and over that Jesus plus any other kind of gospel is no freedom whatsoever. Did you get that? Grace plus any other kind of additional gospel is no freedom whatsoever. It's bondage. And Paul would say, let the person who teaches that and believes that be accursed. Let them be accursed. Twice, Paul makes the point. We're either under the gospel of grace or we're under a curse. If we're not under the gospel, not under grace, then we're still under the original curse that came from the Garden of Eden. Well, what should that say to us? I mean, really, as believers. What should that say to us? It should say, be very careful then not to add anything to Jesus Christ. Don't add anything. We're not to trust in our works. We're not to trust in our own financial nest egg. We're not to trust in our friends or in our home and our properties or our reputations, because it's so easy to try and wrongly add these things to grace in the same way that these agitators were trying to add the law, the Mosaic law, to grace. It's either gospel or a curse, Paul says, and we must be careful to choose Jesus only, solo, the gospel of grace. You could say, well, Rich, are you absolutely sure about this? Turn with me over a couple of pages to chapter 3, verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 10. Paul doesn't leave this alone, he just drives it home. That's why I've got you reading the entire letter of Galatians. Have you read Galatians 7 times yet? Why not? You've had plenty of time. You've been playing too much golf and cards and things. Stay home and read Galatians for 15 minutes. Come on. Come on with me. You can go on a spiritual journey like never before. Just read it and read it and determine in your heart you're going to read it and learn it. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul comes to the truth. He says this, for all who rely on works of the law are what? Under a curse. There it is. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Paul says there's a curse. Back in chapter 1, verse 8, what we just read would be true for him, he says, or for even an angel who produced a different kind of gospel. There would be a curse on them. There exists a reality. We cannot, in our own strength, get ourselves back to the paradise of the original Garden of Eden with Adam and God and Eve. We're still under a curse. Yet there is hope when we face up to that truth and receive the gospel. The law is the standard of God, but we don't keep it because we can't keep it. Paul goes on to say, look at verses 11 and 12. He says, now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. Did you get that? No one is justified before God by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. You see the contrast here? He says the law is not of faith. The law is a standard. And we can't meet the standard, and we don't meet it. No one can perfectly keep the whole law of God. That's why the Bible says in Romans 6, we've all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. But here comes the gospel. Look at verse 13 in Galatians 3. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Are you getting this? In Christ, the curse is gone. That's the greatness and the purity of the gospel message. It's lifted. Christ was cursed on the cross for you and I. He took the anathema on our behalf. So that in Christ Jesus, look at verse 14. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. There it is. It's by grace. It's grace by faith that we receive the promised Holy Spirit, the third of the Trinity, because the curse has been taken away by Jesus Christ himself. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Cursed is everyone who's crucified on the cross, we would say today. Christ became a curse for us to redeem us from the curse of the law, verse 13. There's no more curse for those who have fully embraced the purity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. No self-works, no self-righteousness, no working your way, trying to earn your way into heaven. Christ took it all to redeem us from the curse of trying to earn our own salvation. So Paul's simply declaring here and back in chapter 1 now, verses 8 and 9, where we started tonight. Paul is simply declaring, don't be taken away from the gospel, for the alternative is the curse. It's only in Jesus Christ, the curse taker, that the curse is removed from you and from me and is no more. And we ought to shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah for that. Here's a word for us tonight as we bring this to a close. You know, you might be thinking, man, Rich, this is really one aggressive message. Listen, I want to assure you that this is not an aggressive message. The Bible is not saying, curse you. He's not saying, curse you. No, the message is more like this. The message is more like a doctor going into a village where a plague has broken out and he has the medication in his bag to cure that plague. And he needs people in the village to understand the seriousness of the situation. And even if the symptoms of that plague seem rather mild and minor at the moment, he wants people to understand that this strange medication that he has in the bag is really going to take the curse of the plague away from them if they will receive it and accept it by faith. That's the message here. There are lots and lots, listen, there are lots and lots of signs of curse in our world today. I mean, the religious intolerance that I'm reading about in the world today. Whole villages are being burned down. Christian homes are being destroyed. People are being dragged out and thrown into prison and beaten and killed and murdered in the most horrendous ways. Religious persecution is unfolding in this world like never before. There are massive injustices in our world that are occurring. Diseases are happening all over the place. Climate change is at a phenomenal rate right now. We live in a world today in 2011 where there's both physical oppression and psychological pain, and it's all come because of the curse of sin. I started reading Billy Graham's book last night as I got into bed called Storm Warning. And I found his opening rather interesting in light of this message. Because he says, you know what one of the curses is? One of the curses is the severe, severe plague of depression that is gripping our world in people's lives. Listen to what he says. Now remember, he's writing now from an old, old age. I've not seen such widespread anxiety and depression in people's hearts as I do today. While battles rage around the world and storms gather in the human spirit, depression steals rest from our souls. Depression today not only describes the hard economic state of affairs sweeping our world, but the state of the human mind. I see this unfolding phenomenon as one of the many storm clouds hovering over a lost and dying world. Their thunderbolts can grip our hearts with indescribable fear. Our society is caught up in a powerful windstorm that has already caused massive destruction with the full impact yet to come. He continues, The Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, have reported that antidepressants are now the most prescribed drugs in the United States. In an interview on CNN, one physician stated, "It's hard to believe that so many people are depressed or that antidepressants are the answer." And then Billy says this, "I agree with this wise doctor. Drugs are not the answer to man's troubled condition. There's only one answer to the travail of this present age, and it's found in the ageless pages of God's Word, the Bible." Listen, the gospel is the solution for surviving the curse of this world. You can try everything else. When people argue, there's only one who takes the guilt away. His name is Jesus Christ. When countries battle in war with one another and try to topple dictators, there's only one that can take the curse of guilt away. It's Jesus Christ. When people are oppressed, there's only one who has the power to set them free from the bondage of the curse. His name is Jesus Christ. When someone comes to a church like this today who's looking for something, there's only one who's a curse bearer. His name is Jesus Christ, who came to take away the curse of the sin of the world from you and from me. There's only one who's a redeemer from the bondage of the slavery of our sin. And for all of us, the word is gospel, not curse. The word is Jesus Christ, and it needs to be grace, grace, not law. And let's be unashamedly, enthusiastically, overwhelmingly certain of where we stand on that. Certain that we're not eclectically trying to mix something in with the gospel of grace. And let's be joy-filled for the rescue that Jesus Christ has wrought on our individual hearts when by faith we have embraced and trusted in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. Amen. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Choir, you can start making your way up here if you would. Father, who are we to deserve such a wonderful, wonderful, and precious gift like the gift of grace? And Father, how can we possibly begin to say thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord God Almighty, great Jehovah, Yahweh, the great I Am who I Am, who has delivered unto us such a marvelous, marvelous promise and deliverance. Lord, we thank you for Jesus today, our curse taker. We thank you for our deliverer who came to rescue us from the dominion and darkness of our sin. Father, if there's anyone here tonight who hasn't embraced Jesus, Father, would that happen in their hearts tonight by faith? God, just bring them to that point. Lord, help them to step out in faith and say, Lord Jesus, I trust in you alone right now for my salvation. I embrace you, Lord, and nothing else for my eternal life. Lord, would you wrought that work right now in someone's heart, even as we listen to the choir sing. Lord, move in the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ushers, would you come?
Treasure the He was crucified, and his body was laid in a borrowed tomb. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. By his resurrection, he took away the sting of death and the condemnation of sin. For that reason, we say, like the Apostle Paul, I want to know Christ by sharing in his suffering and by the power of his resurrection. Yes, Jesus is the living Lord, the risen King. And so now we pray that the presence and the power of Christ will reign in your hearts from this moment on. Father, as we go, we look to you. Lord, guide us and direct us. Watch over us and keep us. Pour out your blessing and your spirit upon us as we walk in this world in these days. Lord, Lamb of God, guide us as only you can in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Have a good weekend.